Thank you again for the opportunity to come to share God's Word. It's always a privilege to be in God's Word. And it's a blessing for each one of us here who have the freedom in our country to open God's Word, to read it every day. It was 1968 in Mexico, the Summer Olympic Games. It came down to the last event, the marathon. And the streets are crowded with lots of people. The stadium is packed with spectators cheering on all the runners. After a while, the first athlete runs into the stadium. They say that the cheering erupted so loud, you could hear it suburbs away. But way back in the field was another runner. His name was John Stephen Aquari. He's been eclipsed by other runners. After 30 kilometres, his head started to throb. His muscles are aching and he collapses to the ground. He has serious leg injuries. The officials say to him, "You must stop running now. Give up. Don't worry about the race. You've done a good effort. You've done your country proud. Just stay down, get medical treatment, you'll be okay." But he refuses. He stands up again. With his knee bandaged, Aquari picks himself up and hobbles the remaining 12 kilometres to the finish line. An hour after the winner had been announced, he hobbles into the stadium. Only a few people left in the stadium, everybody else has gone home. He goes around the stadium one more time towards the finishing line. He gets to the finish line and he just collapses. Some commentators say it was the toughest competitor in the history of the Olympic Games. But after the race, one reporter asked him, "Why did you not stop? Why did you not give up?" It was easy to say, "I've done my best." And this was the words he said, "My country did not send me to start the race. They sent me to finish the race." And that reminds us as Christians, we're in a race, a marathon race, not a quick sprint, but a marathon race. I love the words of Hebrews 2, verse 1 and 2. It says this, "Therefore we also, as we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let's lay aside every weight and the sin so easily snares us. Let us run with endurance the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." In our race, we're in this race. The finish line, of course, is glory. It's a race where we have lots of ups. We feel close to God. We have victory over sin. We come to church as brothers and sisters in Christ. But also a race that's tough. A race has battles. A race where we feel, can I keep going on? A race where we feel it's getting too tough. Can I just somehow hide from everything? But you know, we as Christians need to have courage. This runner, John Stephen Aquari, had courage to stand up. Courage to keep going. Courage to finish. He could have found a thousand excuses not to finish that race. But his courage stood out. As Christians today, as we go through this race, do we have the courage? The courage to stand up for what is right in love? Do we have the courage to lead our families well? Do we have the courage to say no to sin? Do we have the courage to share the gospel of Christ? Do we have the courage to declare what God says is true? Do we have the courage to stand in our workplaces, our schools, our universities, declare that I belong to Christ? We're called by God to be his children. We're also called to have courage. Let's pray. Loving Father, we do praise and thank you for your word. We thank you chose to reveal yourself through your word. your characteristics, your power, your love, your mercy. Thank you, you chose to boost up for your word and showing how you're a righteous God. Thank you, your word is full of your promises, promises that cannot fail, promises that are true. Thank you, we can read for your word the life and true events of people and see their successes and also their failures so we can learn from them. We pray this morning as we look at this topic of courage, that you make us stop and think about our own lives in this race, this marathon race. Sometimes we get knocked down and it's the courage that picks us up again. Help us leave this building today as changed people, desiring to be just like your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. In his name we pray. Amen. There's two elements that many Christians struggle with in their lives. The first one is contentment. We struggle with contentment. We want to have more of things. Not necessarily a new car or a new house, but we just want more things. We believe the more things we have, more content we'll be. Now, contentment, according to the Bible, is you're content or satisfied that God's in control of every part of your life. While God gives and takes away, we still praise God. But many of us Christians, we suffer with contentment. The other one I think we truly suffer with or we struggle with is this one called courage. What do I mean by this word courage? It means one who is strong, one who is brave, one who is determined, one who persists, one who has strength. And this morning I want us to look at the book of Joshua. And Joshua is commanded three times to be strong and courageous, or be strong and have courage. For your Bibles, please turn to Joshua chapter 1. Let's read the first 9 verses. Joshua chapter 1, verse 1 through to verse 9. It is commanded to have courage. Verse 1. After the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spoke to Joshua, son of Nun, Moses' assistant, saying, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, you and all this people, to the land which I have given to them, the children of Israel. Every place that the sole of your foot would tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and this Lebanon, as far as the great river, river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and to the great sea towards the going down of the sun, shall be your territory. No man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. And as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. Be strong and of good courage. With this people you shall divide as inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you may go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. You shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do all according to all that's in it, written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid nor be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. So why don't I first look at the setting here. What is the situation where Moses finds himself in here? Joshua finds himself here. Why is he now new leader of Israel? Well, firstly, let's think about his life. He was born into slavery in Egypt. He was born at a time where Israel were under heavy bondage from Pharaoh. He comes from the tribe of Ephraim. Numbers 13:8 tells us this. From the tribe of Ephraim, Hosea, the son of Nun. And verse 16, these are the names of the men whom Moses sent to spy out the land. And Moses called Hosea, the son of Nun, Joshua. Joshua means Jehovah is salvation. It's a Hebrew form of the name of Jesus. He was the firstborn male in his family. So his parents did not obey God and put those blood on the doorposts in Egypt as the angel passed over that night, Joshua would have been dead. Joshua witnessed signs and wonders from God in the wilderness, on the way to wilderness. He saw God part the Red Sea, and he walked through the dry land of the Red Sea. He was a mighty soldier. He was a warrior. He was there when he beat the Amalekites. He was not afraid of any enemy. He would conquer and conquer and conquer. Some even say he might have been taught by the Egyptian army as a younger person. He was the official assistant of Moses. He accompanied Moses to the mountain of God. He came down with Moses and watched Moses judge the people of God as they built the golden calf. As Moses would go into the tent to be in the presence of God, it was Joshua who stood in front to guard that tent. No one could go in and go out to interrupt Moses. When Moses sent the 12 spies into the promised land to spy out the land, one of those spies was Joshua. 10 spies come back and say to Joshua, they say to Moses, the land is great, but we can't conquer it. Joshua and Caleb says, we can conquer it. Sadly, they listen to the 10 spies. And here's Joshua wandering around the wilderness with Moses' people, seeing the people be disgruntled, complain, whinge, whine, saying, it's way better back in Egypt. Why do you take us from Egypt into this wilderness? He watched the sin of the golden calf. He watched the wild party they had around that golden calf. He watched how God's people disobeyed God. And now Moses dies. Verse 1 tells us, after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass, the Lord spoke to Joshua, the son of Nun. You know, leaders do not last forever. Godly leaders like Moses don't last forever. There's always a time for a new leader. And Joshua had a big job to do here. 40 years wandering in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses. We saw this morning's Bible reading. Moses tells them his time is up. 120 years old, his time is up. God buries Moses. And says, Joshua, it's now your job. Joshua, you're now the leader of my people. Joshua, it's you that bring my people into the promised land. It's you to lead my people. In Deuteronomy 34, I read these words. So Moses, servant of the Lord, died there in the land of Moab, according to the word of the Lord. And he, God, buried him in a valley, the land of Moab, opposite Beth Peor. But no one knows his grave to this day. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not dim, or his natural vigor diminished. Now, Joshua, it's yours. It's interesting, the name Moses in the book of Joshua is mentioned 57 times. Moses influenced Joshua's life. Joshua didn't know what Leah was like to look at Moses. Now he's going to lead his people. He didn't trust God. These people who disobeyed God into the promised land. Now, the Bible doesn't tell us what Joshua was thinking. It doesn't tell us what Joshua was thinking in his heart or in his head. But if it was me, I'd be thinking, how am I going to do this? Thinking, God, you want me to lead these people who've been wandering around 40 years complaining and whinging and whining to the promised land, across this Jordan River. How am I going to do this? Well, am I the right person, God? Am I the right man to do this? Will they listen to me? Is it going to work out? But Joshua had needed courage to stand up to be that man. to lead God's people to the promised land. You know, the reality of church today is churches need leadership. Churches need people to stand up and be strong in today's society. We find many excuses not to lead. Our families, husbands, with dads in your family. Oh, I can't leave my family because I'm too busy. Oh, I can't leave my family because I don't know really how to do it properly. If you stand up as a leader in your family and you lead your family towards God and spiritually, they will follow. No doubts about that. In our workplaces, do we stand up as leaders? Not just necessarily the boss, but ones to stand up and saying, I belong to Christ. We do things this way. Why? Because God wants me to do things this way. And people will follow. In your ministries of the church, if people stand up and lead well, people will follow. I think sometimes you look for more excuses than say, I have the courage to stand up, like Joshua here, not sure how it's going to work out, but through prayer, through the whole work of the Holy Spirit, through God's word, we can do this. We can lead people towards God. Even amongst our churches, in our fellowship, AFBC fellowship, I fear in the next 5 or 10 years, who's going to lead them? A lot of our churches have elderly pastors who are very faithful men. They're faithful men for many years. But after they retire, what's next? What's next? You know, you go to schools and you hear year 12, they say go to university, which is not a bad thing to do. Or get jobs, all good things to do. But never the option given full-time ministry. The option given, do you want to be one who leads God's people? The other things aren't bad at all. But given the option to go home and pray, can you be the one who can lead God's people towards God? It takes courage to be a Christian in today's world. People watch your actions, watch your words. How are they going to react? And here's Joshua. His background from Egypt, from the Red Sea, from the wilderness, wandering in the wilderness. Now you're the one, Joshua, you're the one who's going to lead him out. Joshua's thinking, I'm now the one. How can I do this? Two important ingredients. First, we see the promises from God. The promises from God. Look at verse 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now, therefore, because he's dead, arise, stand up, Joshua. Go over this Jordan, you and all these people, to the land which I'm giving to them, the children of Israel. He says, every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given you, as I said to Moses. From the wilderness and its Lebanon, as far as the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, to the great sea, towards going down the sun, shall or will be your territory. And no man shall be able to stand before you all the days of your life. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. I will not leave you nor forsake you. The first promise here, the promise of victory. Moses, you cannot lose. I promise you, Moses, that this land, that every spot, the sole of your feet will tread upon, is yours. As I promised Abraham back in Genesis, it is yours. And to expand, it says, from the river Euphrates, land of the Hittites, referring to every place you can see, every place you can walk, it's yours. Guaranteed victory. And even add even more to it, verse 5 says, no man will be able to stop you. They have some good armies in the promised land. Big fortified cities like Jericho. Yes, they struggle against Ai at first because of sin in the camp. But Joshua, take my people to the land I promised them. Every place you step is yours. Every man comes against you will lose. Because I guarantee you victory. A victory I did not deserve. Victory not there based on what their obedience was. Victory not based on their zeal for God. Not based on their faith for God. But a victory based on a promise he made to Abraham. And God never breaks his promises. The Bible tells us it's impossible for God to lie. He cannot lie. So every promise you read in God's word is true. Every single promise. You know, we as Christians, we have the promise of victory as well. We have victory over death. The world fears death. What happens next? You know, when I go to hospital beds and you see people in their hospital beds knowing that time's up, those who don't know Christ have a fear in their eyes. They're scared. What happens next? But those who are Christians have this comfort. They know what's next. And we can live in this world knowing there's just a phase of our life that God's allowed us on this earth for a certain period of time. But after that, we enter glory. After that, we have eternal life. After that, we have a place where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no death, no pain, no agony, no sin. We'll see the glory of God shining. A guaranteed victory, and it's yours. We have victory over sin. Romans 6 tells us we are indeed dead to sin, which means we have the ability, the power to say no to sin. Of course, we don't do that always, obviously. We're not perfect. We're told throughout Scripture that forgiveness of our sins from past, present, and future is there. Why? Because Christ died upon that cross for our sins, was buried and rose again. It's victory over sin, yours. We have victory over Satan. The book of James tells us to resist the devil and he will flee. He will flee. We stand here this morning as victorious Christians. As ones who have victory. Not because we deserve it. Not because we're part of the Blue Mountains. Not because of any of our heritage. But because of God. He says, I give you victory. I give you victory. I love 1 John 5:4 says this. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world. Who has victory in this world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Our faith. Our faith. Not only was it a promise of victory, it was a promise of God's presence. Verse 5 says, I will not leave you nor forsake you. And verse 9, have I not commanded you to be strong and good courage? Do not be afraid nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. I will not leave you. I will not fail you. I will not leave you by yourself. I will not desert you. I'm with you everywhere you go. I am with you. Before the prayer, Josh talked about Hebrews 13:5. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Joshua, go into that land. I'll give you victory wherever you step. And as you walk every step in the promised land, I'm with you side by side. Even the big Jericho walls, I'm with you. As you go against Ai, I'm with you. As you conquer all the land of Canaan, I'm with you every step of the way, and I will never, never leave you. When the angel spoke to Mary and told her she'd have a baby boy, his name is Emmanuel, which means God is with us every step of the way. You can picture Joshua, couldn't you? Hearing his words from God. Firstly, his mentor, the one he loved dearly, is dead. Has all these people to lead now into a promised land that all the generations missed out because of their disobedience. God said, go there, I'll give you victory, and everywhere you tread, I'll whip you every step of the way. No matter how hard it gets, Joshua, how difficult it might seem, I'm with you, and I promise you, I'm with you every step of the way. You know, I can face every day. Why? Because God's with me. I can leave my family every day. Why? God's with me. I go to work every day. Why? God's with me. I go to university every day. Why? God's with me. I go to school every day. Why? God's with me. Even I go to the darkest cave in Africa, God is with me. And I was thinking about it the other day. Here's the almighty, powerful God who made the world by speaking 6 literal days. Rest of 7 day, obviously. How big and powerful he is, how small and insignificant I am, says, I'll never leave you. I'm with you every step of the way. What an amazing God we serve. The same promise he gave Moses, same promise he gave Joshua, same promise he gives to us. He says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. We're securely in his hands. No one can pluck us from his hand or snatch us out of his hands. We're always with him. He's always with us. They're the promises that Joshua needed to hear. But it's one thing to have the promises. But thirdly, this morning, look at this. He needed the courage to make it happen. Verse 6 again says, be strong and of good courage. For this people you shall divide as an inheritance, the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. Verse 9, have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed. In verse 7 says, only be strong and of very good courage. He's commanded to have courage 3 times. Why 3 times? Was it due to his lack of listening? No. Was it due to lack of understanding? No. It was to illustrate or highlight the utmost importance of this command. Be strong and courageous. Why? Because there's a tough road ahead. Why? It's going to be very difficult. Why? You shouldn't see me, Joshua, do amazing things. Step out and watch me be God. And we see that all through Scripture. We sang the song, There to Be Daniel, before the message. He was one of courage. Daniel and his friends are taken captive and told to eat the king's food. They said, no, we don't eat the king's food. We just want vegetables and water. Never say no to the king. They said no. Daniel is hearing that Nebuchadnezzar has a dream and no one can interpret his dream. So he's always wise men being killed. Daniel says, wait, stop, I'll interpret the dream. Give me a time to pray. It took courage. When Saul Darius tricked to write the written law that no man could petition any god or man for 30 days except King Darius will be thrown in lion's den, Daniel goes and prays. With the window open. Courage. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the image is made of Nebuchadnezzar, they will not bow down to the image. Why? Courage. The thinking and their love is this. I trust God so much that whatever happens to me for due to my obedience, if it means death, I will have death. That's courage. That's courage. 2 Timothy 1:7 says this. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of a love and a sound mind. Just don't fear. Sadly today, Christians are very quiet when there's things opposed to God. Christians are very quiet when it comes down to issues like abortion or same-sex marriage. I read an article the other day from Eugene Peterson, whatever his name is, the guy who wrote the message. And now it says he agrees with same-sex marriage. He would marry people, same-sex. Where's the courage of our leaders? Where's the courage of Christians stand up to say, it's what God says that matters. Doesn't matter what the world says. Doesn't matter what politicians say. It's what God says that matters. Yes, do it in love, in humility, but stand up for what is right. When we see someone, who, brothers and sisters in Christ, who are living a sinful life, do we have the courage to go by their side and say, can I pray for you and help you? Or is it easy to say, I don't want to do that because I don't want to offend a person. I don't want to do that because I don't want to interfere in their lives. What's God want me to do? I want to say, can I help you? Not judge. I'm not here to judge anybody. Can I help and pray for you? And together we can get through this. Do we have the courage to say that? Or when we have a conversation afterwards and someone whinges or whines about something to do with the church or someone's life, do we have the courage to say, let's not talk that way. Let's talk about God. Let's talk about what the Bible says about things. It's easy to say no or find excuses. In our families, do husband and wives have enough courage to say to one another, look, can we do better at this? Many marriages, Christian marriages, are falling apart out there. There's no communication, encouraging one another to say, look, can you help me here? Or can you lead me better? Or whatever it might be. Have the courage to talk to husband and wives. Your children and parents, have courage to talk to one another, and is it a problem? Or is it easy to stay quiet? Sharing our faith with people, do we stay quiet? Or do you have the courage to say, do you know about Jesus? We have a message that saves people's lives. We have a message that saves people from the pits of hell, and sometimes we're too scared to share it. Because we're scared of the rejection or the reaction of people. God says, be strong, be courageous. I promise you victory. I promise you presence. Now step out and live that out. Then God gives a challenge to Joshua in verse 7 and verse 8. Verse 7, and only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do all according to all the law which Moses my servant commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that's written in it. When then you will make your way prosperous, and you will have good success. Joshua, be strong. That's your command. How are you going to do it? With the word of God. This is your key, Joshua. The word of God. He says, observe, keep, guard, give heed unto all the law that Moses my servant has commanded you. Wherever Moses taught you, wherever Moses commanded you from my word, you obey my word. Do not turn from it from the right hand, do not to the left. Do not change it or move away from it. I guarantee you'll prosper wherever you go. This book of the law, interesting. Moses kept the book of the law. Moses kept the book that talked about the wanderings. Moses kept the book about what God's done for his people. He says, look at my book of the law. Look at the way I obey, look at the way I look after your people. Look who I am as God. Read my word. Meditate upon my word. Observe what my word says. And your way may be prosperous. The idea of prosperous means successful. Success means to wisely understand, have great insight to how God wants us to live for him. What does that mean to us today, though, as Christians? How often are we in God's word? How often do we read God's word? How often do we meditate on God's word? Meditate, it's like bring it up and bring it up and bring it up to remind ourselves of who God's word is. Do we just read God's word and want to tick a box? I've done my devotions, I've ticked a box. Or do we read God's word? No, as I face the world today, I need courage. I read his promises. I read his love. I read his power. I read everything about him. So when I step out of my bed each morning to the workplace or to school, wherever it might be, having spent time in God's word, I can face whatever happens that day. Why? Because I've got a God with me every step of the way. Will never leave me, will never fail me. The Apostle Paul says, Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ, who who strengthens me. He could face anything the world threw at him because he had courage. Because he had courage. Are you a courageous Christian? Or are we one to stay quiet? Are you a courageous Christian to stand up for what is right or just hide in the background? Are you a courageous Christian to say no to temptation that leads to sin? Or say, I want that more than anything else? Are you a courageous Christian to lead your family or friends or school, college, or it might be, closer to Christ? So no one wants to be a spectator. Are you courageous to stand on what God says is true? The world and churches today are longing for courageous Christians. The question is this. Does that describe you? We are commanded to be courageous. So what's stopping you? Let's pray. Almighty God, we praise and thank you for who you are. And many times I fail with courage. Many times it's easy just to hide. Many times it's easy to say, I have excuses not to do this or that. You don't want us to cause trouble. You don't want us to judge people. You don't want us to stand up for wrong reasons. But you just want us to trust you. And for the trust of reading your promises, promise of victory, promise of your presence, the command to be strong and courageous, to then go out and as we observe and obey your word, we meditate upon your word, as we listen to your word, we can face any obstacle this world has for us. We can face any hardship or difficulties there might be. Because we know we have you. All from different backgrounds, like Joshua's background is different to our background. Joshua faced many hardships in the wandering in the wilderness, and we faced different hardships too. But Joshua stood out because of his courage. May people see in us as Christians in the workplace or wherever it might be, as ones who know who you are and ones willing to stand up for you and give you the glory you deserve, knowing we have victory. Victory in Jesus, whose name we pray. Amen.